So the current version of the travel order was blocked as of March 29th. The administration is planning to appeal. If this were to be implemented in the long run, how effective would it be in making the country more secure?
Yeah, I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of evidence that this travel ban would do a whole lot to make the country more secure. If you look at the number of even just foreign jihadist terrorist attacks in the United States since September 11th, none of the lethal attacks have come from individuals from these countries. In fact, all of them have come from either permanent residents or U.S. citizens. It's also a kind of a strange selection of countries that have been included in this travel ban. The source of that comes from some legislation that was passed in 2015, really with a different purpose in mind. And I'm not sure if this is specifically the set of countries that you would pick if you were to say, what are the countries that we are most worried about people coming from and potentially committing terrorist attacks?
How do the vetting standards under this administration differ from those under the previous administration, both for refugees and for other immigrants?
Sure, I don't know if we have information yet as to whether the specific practices are different under this administration than the old administration. Much of this is set by law. There have been no legislative changes. And already the processes in place, both for refugees as well as for visas, are pretty tough. In order to get a visa, it requires showing up at the U.S. Embassy and going through a pretty rigorous process of interviews and vetting. For refugees, the standards are even higher. It's a 20-step process that involves three different personal interviews, three different sets of fingerprinting and background checks. There's been no legislative change in the fundamentals of those processes.
Now, as far as the vetting process on the other country's end, the countries where the immigrants are coming from, how does that work? Is it effective? Is it more strict? There's some people say that it's almost kind of arbitrary. So can you just briefly describe how much work is left for us to do, the United States, after the countries of origin do their vetting process?
Sure. Almost all of the work is being done by the United States. However, almost all of that work is being done in those countries of origin, right? This is not being done once people get off the airplane in the United States. There is a final security check at that point. But for the visa process, this is being done by the U.S. embassies around the world who are conducting one-on-one in-person interviews with people who want visas, one-on-one in-person interviews for those who are asylum seekers applying for refugee status, who are taking fingerprint checks, collecting background information, and they're sending that back to Washington, sending that information through the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, to cross-check and make sure that these individuals to whom they're going to offer a visa or refugee status do not present security risks. So a lot of it is being, almost all of it is being done by the U.S. For the refugee process, the United Nations plays a role, but they're coming from more kind of the whether these individuals fit the definition of a refugee, whereas it's the U.S. who is really doing the heavy lifting in terms of making decisions as to whether offering a visa or offering refugee status would present a security risk in the case of these specific individuals.
If we see the travel orders re-implemented, what would be the kind of the measurable goals after which they would say, okay, now we've accomplished what we wanted?
I don't know, and I don't think that's been made clear. My understanding was that for the original justification of these executive orders was this was meant to be an intermediary period during which the administration was going to evaluate whether the more permanent policies in place were doing an adequate job or not of vetting those who are applying for both for refugee status as well as for visas. Originally, it was going to be a 90-day order starting back in January. Then we had the second order starting in March. So we're getting pretty far along through the original 90 days, and we haven't really heard word on what the process or what deliberations have been in terms of what the administration sees as the ideal long-term goal. The emphasis really has been over these what were supposed to be temporary travel bans, and we don't really know what the administration envisions to come afterwards.
I also wanted to ask about the inclusion of Iran on the list. Why is Iran included on this list, being that it's not a particularly terror-afflicted country, so to speak? There's no operating terrorist group within Iran. There's the Hezbollah connection, obviously, but within Iran, the population of Iran doesn't really pose that kind of risk as, for example, Syria or somewhere else.
Yeah, so the selection of these originally seven countries, now down to six since in the second executive order Iraq was taken off the list, comes from 2015 legislation passed by Congress and implemented by the Obama administration that was concerned about nationals from countries such as Great Britain or Europe that have agreements with the U.S. where you don't need a visa to travel the United States. But we were worried about possible threat of individuals who are nationals of those countries, citizens of those countries, who may have terrorist objectives. And so these countries were identified as risks of where people from, say, the United Kingdom, were potentially traveling to this set of seven countries where they were meeting up with terrorist groups and then traveling to the United States. So that's where this original list of seven countries comes from. Now, that's kind of a different logic and rationale than the way in which the Trump administration is applying it, putting kind of a blanket block on visas from these countries. But I think that's partly how Iran, or largely how Iran gets into the mix. That said, it will be interesting to see if there are broader changes in U.S. policy towards Iran through the Trump administration. President Trump certainly talked tough on Iran during the campaign. He criticized the nuclear deal with Iran. And many of his national security policy leaders are known to have hardline positions on Iran, to see Iran as one of the larger threats to U.S. security interests in the region. So far, we haven't seen any action on trying to roll back the nuclear agreement with Iran. In fact, General Mattis, in his testimony when he was nominated for a Secretary of Defense, specifically said he didn't see rolling that agreement back being a top priority at the time. But it will be interesting to see going forward what other changes we might see in U.S. policy towards Iran.